Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and wonderful approach. This is your host, Mama Seven, and I am so glad to be here on this Wednesday at this time because that means I have made it through quite a few obstacles to get here, okay? Today was, I found myself bumping into other people's pockets of negativity. You know, and the reason why I say pockets is because it seems like there was this little cloud following them around, and I was trying so hard not to get wet by somebody else's cloud, and to the point where I actually said, "Hey, I'm gonna get up and go for a walk." I got up from my comfortable place and just took a little walk, and that's because I am committed to peace. I am committed to my peace, and therefore, I had to literally remove myself from my little surrounding there. And I was so proud of myself. There's not another word to say it. I was so proud of myself because I really got to realize, you know, you really are committed. You know, that word, you know, I spent a lot of time, I study language. I study the words that God gives us to, so that we can understand where he's coming from, what's going on, and everything like that. And so this idea of commitment, I had to really, really spend some time researching. What does it mean to be committed? What does it mean, and of all things, committed to God? You know, that's one of the highest commitments you can even dream of, you know, your commitment to God. What are you willing to do, and what are you willing not to do, you know? And one of the things we always speak about frequently, is that commitment to peace. Are you going to be committed? And today, you know, without any cameras, without any evidence, without any of that, I found myself making the right decision, and I'm so glad that I did because, of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You can turn around and see if you had not, the consequences may have been a lot higher or, you know, just unbearable or whatever you were going to do. So I'm very, very glad that I was able to do so, and I hope that, you know, quite a few people, 2021 hasn't been a cakewalk. I don't know where y'all been stomping at, but it has not been a cakewalk. So I'm hoping others, as you're going through your day, you're going through whatever challenges that you have ahead of you, I hope that you're able to really kind of overcome the challenges. You know, take it slow. Understand that, you know, as we are human, we're open to challenges. We're supposed to be challenged. We're at a classroom. We're here to learn. And so what happens after you learn? You got to take the test. That's the only way we're going to know you really got it, okay? So when you feel yourself being tested, well, then you're right on schedule because this is what's supposed to happen. You learn information. You're tested. You pass. You move forward, okay? Even if you didn't want to test or not. Even if you didn't think you were ready. So even though last week we did commitment to peace, and the reason we did the commitment to peace last week is because the country was having an entire fit behind some of the political understandings that were going on. It was very, very difficult. I spoke on a couple of shows, a couple of programs about peace and this commitment to peace and how we don't have to allow someone else to irritate. And so after doing all this conversating about peace, then here comes today where there's a new understanding of what that commitment of peace looks like. So, you know, this is what we do. We're always learning and building and growing. And so I really encourage all those, take a minute and think about what you're committed to. And I know you're like, okay, Mama Seven, how do I know what I'm committed to? Look and see what you will not compromise. What you will not compromise is what you are committed to. All right? So if you're not willing to compromise your health, you know, some people do the COVID thing like, a little bit. Some people are avid. You know, they are watching with the eye. They're really taking this hand washing seriously. They're doubling up on the vitamins. They're doing this. They're doing that. They're doing everything they can to be safe, okay? If you are one of those people, then you are committed to your health, or at least you're committed to not getting sick. So that thing that you're willing to spend time on, energy on, the thing that you're willing to announce to people, because I know people, you know, you're walking 6 feet. You know, I'm like, 6 feet, what is that? You know, and so there are people, when you find yourself okay with announcing to everyone that I want you to stay back from me 6 feet, when you find yourself okay with insisting on others that are in your little bubble of protection have their own protection, when you're doing all that, then you're committed to it, okay? This is how I know I'm committed to God. Not a problem. I can look at the evidence. I can look around me and say, okay, I'm insistent on God being close in my heart. I'm insistent on God being close to all of my interactions with the people that I know, the people that I meet, the work that I do. I have no problem speaking with God and asking God to order my steps, to tell me what I need to do, how I need to work right now, what needs to happen, because I know I am committed to God. When you're ready and able to make commitments, there is evidence of it, okay? So if you say you're committed to something, but you never, ever open your mouth or you don't do any actions towards it, I'm going to ask you to rethink and relearn what the word commitment means. Commitment is definitely an action, okay? So the commitment to peace, that action, see, people think, peace is when you're just going to lay down and not do anything. And that is not correct. Peace is when you're actively doing something to maintain the peace. Because unfortunately, there's always energy that is against your peace. They don't believe that you should be able to control the peace in your world, in your little bubble. They want to come and manipulate your little bubble. So at that time, that's when you have to do your pushbacks. And that when you do those pushbacks with no problem, when you insist on it, then you are committed to peace. So it was a great show. I really, really liked it. As always, I'm learning still. And so I was learning while I was, you know, doing the radio program like I always did. And so if you want to go back, listen to it, you can go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. You can go to awonderfulapproach.com. You can get all the information that you can there and listen to the show and comment on the show if you want on the Facebook page. So it's always a lot of fun when we get together to learn. And speaking about getting together, I'm so very tickled to announce our first event will be in Colombia. Lord, I said it wrong about 15 times already. So I believe it's Colombia, South Carolina. We usually get together in Augusta. Augusta has changed. Everything has changed. 2021 is going to demand more change. And so we're going to Columbia, a beautiful location. And so all of A Wonderful Approach, all of the sweethearts and angels of A Wonderful Approach, family and friends, should have gotten a personal invite from me. And then what we're going to be doing is, and there will be tickets, to try to control how large the group gets, because these groups are getting very large. And so the information will be going out on websites and social medias and everything else like that this weekend. So I would strongly suggest that you get your ticket ahead of time. But that is going to be on February 6th, guided meditation, lots of fun, lots of good people, networking, and networking, we're going to take networking up a notch. We got some real surprises and treats going on. So if I have called you and told you you need to be there, go ahead and make the plans. But that is A Wonderful Approach. That's our first weekend. We work really hard at those events. They are getting bigger and better, and we're reaching more people. More people are getting the opportunity to be exposed to spirituality, which I love, which is the purpose of the guided meditations. That was the original purpose. What was that? 5-6 years ago? Has it been that long? 5-6 years ago at the House of Refuge up in North Carolina, the goal was just to reach out to some people and share a spiritual experience with them. And from that meeting, and it wasn't a small meeting then, but from that meeting, it has grown and grown. And more people are getting the opportunity to learn about us and spend time with us. So I absolutely love it. I'm looking forward to it. Everyone knows how much I enjoy them. Even though we work hard, they're still a lot of fun. It's absolutely in Columbia. The reason why it's in Columbia is right down the street from almost everybody I love. I still got some people that have to travel a little bit, but it is down the street. And you don't have to spend the night if you don't want to, if you're close enough. I just don't want anyone traveling late at night. But we have a great time. So please keep that in mind. We'll talk more about it. We'll get some information and everything like that. But on to tonight's show, okay? Enough of our chit-chat. On to tonight's show. Being obedient to God. This can be a tricky one. This can be a tricky one. And I know you're like, Mama Seven, how is it tricky? I don't really understand how it gets tricky because I don't have a problem listening. You can ask my mother, Mama Khadijah, has Mama Seven ever had a problem listening? Nope. Nope, nope, nope. I do not have a problem listening. I want to know what the rules are. And then I'm going to say right at the edge, I might be right at the porch now. She said don't get off the porch. I might be right on the porch. I may have my toes dangling off the porch, but my bottom, I promise, I'm still on the porch. I'm not getting off the porch. And that's because I've always, there's a couple reasons. One, I have been able to trust my authority figures. When you have trust in the instructions that were given to you, easier to obey them. Because the way I looked at it was, especially with my mother, one, she's telling me this for my best interest, and or two, she's telling me this because there's a consequence behind it or a reward, one or the other. I knew, and this is just the way that she operated. I tell people, look, I don't care how many siblings you have. You got one mama. You need to learn how she is so you cannot get your booty popped, okay? My mother did one or two things. She's going to tell you for your best interest. Then there's going to be a reward slash consequence, depending how you operate it. This was standard. This was across the line. It was a mathematical formula. I got it. I can apply it every single time. And so I've taken that same approach to God. And God has shown me this over and over. God tells us things. We get messages. There's oracle. There are Bible stories, hadiths, apatakis, surah prayers. We have all kinds of information on every level of what God expects, when he expects it, and how. So God has told us already, personally, dreams, you know, just destiny. You just know, intuition. God's already told us what he wants for us to do. I can guarantee you, depending on what you do, follow instructions or don't, there is either a reward or a consequence waiting for you. That's it. We don't even have to think hard about this, family. I promise you. That's it. But we do need to talk about what I really, and when I say talk, I mean open discussion. I want to hear this. You know, this is not rhetorical at all. I want to know why it gets hard to listen. Why don't you want to listen? You know, and the reason why I want to know that is because I would like to brainstorm with you a little bit about how we can work around our own selves. You know, how do we really get in God's favor? Because I would like everybody to be on the reward section. God is unlimited. Abundance can be yours. We don't have to choose, and this is something I learned, we don't have to choose one or another. God is waiting for us. Okay? So I want to help encourage you, if I get my voice right, I want to help encourage you to make the right decision so we can focus on the reward. I want to sit back. I want to sit back in the house and wait for the reward. I don't want to be running and ducking, waiting on a consequence, okay? And so that is the kind of energy that I want to talk about this evening when we're talking about being obedient to God. How do we focus on the reward? How do we get our listening ears on, like we tell the children, you know, how do we get to see the examples of good behavior? You know, now, unfortunately, right now, this world is broadcasting poor behavior. Now, all the stories about the kittens being found in the well, all the stories about the dog rescuing the deers, and I mean, all those stories, we don't hear them. We don't get to hear them. We don't get to see them. They actually make light of it, make jokes of it. We'll get a little meme, maybe. But really, when it comes down to glorifying and what's getting all the publicity, all the attention, is negativity. What's getting the attention is what looks like not listening and no consequences. Not listening and rewards. And I can guarantee you it does not work that way. I don't care what the TV says. We already know through Scripture, through hundreds and thousands of years of Scripture, we know it doesn't work that way. In real life, the people that we know in our day-to-day, you know, we have to let go of the TV people, okay? Understand that TV was always set up to disseminate large amounts of information. That's what the TV is for. Telling a large amount of people one thing, trying to create we think, we talk, trying to get their agenda across. That is what it's always been for. So why in the world are you trusting the TV over what God has told you in person or through trusted source? You understand? So this being obedient to God, even if it takes some practice, it is worth perfecting, because the better we do it, the easier it's done, I think the bigger the reward is, you know? So as always, this is a collective radio program. We work together. We really try to help each other, get the information, build on it. This is our life right here. So I would love to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is press 1. That lets switchboard know, hey, I'd like to speak. I want to add to the conversation. Even if you're just calling and say, hey, I'm a first-time caller. Love that. Always, always. But I have a caller that I'd like to grab just so we can say hello or get some information, okay? Either way, I absolutely love it. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. It's Melissa. How are you?
Greetings, Sister Melissa. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so first off, I'll be in Columbia. It'll just have to be whatever time. I know I can make it now. I can do it. I'll be there. I already sent you a text.
All right.
I'm there.
All right.
Are you kidding me? 90 miles? I'm there. Okay. Now, in this journey that I am on, in this tough year of 2020, and who knows what 2021 has to offer us, I'm finding it very easy to lose my mind. So, if it's because it's my energy has shifted like a 180, So my energy level is high. It's elevated. It's high. But I feel stuck not being able to do the things I would like to do. So I'm trying to figure out what I can do. So right now I'm immersing myself in education, and that's with the Orisha class, and I just I'm about to retake my B class. So I'm trying to put my energy into positive things. I just have got off the phone with somebody to talk about cryptocurrency, and I'm about to, you know, talk to some of our people on the phone to see if they want to be part of that conversation. But I'm trying to find positive things to put my energy into. So for me, I can't say it's hard to obey God because I really want to. For me, I can say that I still, you know, don't really know how to hear him as clear as some other folks on this call might be able to hear him. So I still hear, I hear it through people talking to me. I hear it through signs. I'm very sensitive right now. I'm very sensitive, period, but I'm very sensitive right now. So I'm watching and listening for a lot of things that a lot of people wouldn't pick up on because I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm looking for it. So I think once I can better hear him, understand that I'm hearing him, that it'll work even more for me. But it's the techniques I need to learn to make that happen, which I haven't gotten under my belt. So that's how I'm looking at it. Not necessarily is it hard to obey God, because I'm so different now than I was 20 years ago. I used to be an irritant on purpose like 20 years ago. Now I really want to be a nice person to people that I, you know, I just want to be, I want to be helpful to people. So, like, it's like a total 180 if you know me from that long ago. And I like the journey I'm on, although it can be painful, although it can be solitary, because that's how I'm feeling about 2020, and who knows what 2021 is doing. But I'm feeling solid. I'm feeling more alone, not lonely people, but just more alone. And I'm trying to figure out a way to maneuver in that so it doesn't give me trauma. I need to get development, not trauma. I mean, you know what I mean? I need to progress. There's no, I can't go backwards. And there's, so there's some choices of things that I've been trying to come up with. And even if I was to make, because I can put my energy into good or bad. So if I'm putting my energy into something I know could be bad, because sometimes you got to entertain the bad. I mean, you're still human. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do that, how can I do that as safe as possible? So even in being ungodly and knowing that there's a better choice out there, I'm at the point where I want to make a healthier choice in that so that I don't damage myself more than I more need be, because who knows what the lesson is I'm going to get out of it anyway. You know, so if I can just get out of it with a lesson, but I'm still walking, breathing, my skin's the same skin it was when I went into it, then at least I tried, and God, I was in God's favor, you know. But
amen.
So for me, it's just like learning to, like, I still need to meditate. I still need, there's a lot of things I still need to learn. Right now, I'm into, you know, I'm into the moon. I got my crystals.
Yes.
I'm into scents now. So I have been lighting up sage, lavender, cedar, sweetgrass. I've just been lighting these things up when I feel like my mood is getting crazy, just to change my atmosphere, just to change my way of thinking. So I'm using my tools. I'm cognizant.
Good.
I'm sensitive.
That's what I'm hearing.
And I do ask God, you know, thank you for everything you've done that I don't even know about. And, you know, just keep me safe. And I'm going to try to do the best I can to honor you. So that is always in there. I don't know what the reward is going to be when we do devotions.
There is one.
It is what it is. I'm in it. I'm all the way in it. Like, I'm all the way in it. I'm excited. But I'm still anxious and nervous and still got that other stuff going on. So the other thing I would say that could be a hindrance for me is doubt. And I don't mean like I'm doubting this, that, and the other. But sometimes you want to do something. You ask God for it. But it might not be what you're going to get. And you don't really get it. You start doubting some things. But you don't know if he doesn't really want you to not have it. So that's the other struggle. So I kind of got, can I hear God? And can I get that other voice out of my head that might be pushing me towards something that God doesn't want me to be, that God doesn't want me to go towards, you know, that kind of thing. You know,
Yes, I know exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Awesome. Melissa, I love it when you call. I love it when you hit that one because that lets me get into even deeper or turn the corner and be able to answer the question from another angle. So I love it when you call. Please, always press one. Big or small, you bring a lot to the conversation. Okay, honey?
All right, love you.
So now I'm going to try to answer it. Love you too, honey. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. Looking forward to seeing you. All right, look, I want to explain some things. Sister Melissa gave us a lot to start with. First, for my empaths out there, January 2nd, everything just kind of exploded, all right? Literally exploded. I had so many empaths feeling the earth move and having it make them extremely emotional. And to the point where, and see, the one thing about emotions is that they can sneak up on you. You're like, okay, I'm feeling a little this, I'm fine. I'm feeling a little that. Well, it's New Year's, we just turned a corner. I'm doing this. And then you realize I'm in a full-fledged episode, okay? Empath, I promise you. And I said this last year, so I promise it's going to happen this year. There is going to be a special class for you. You're going to learn how to feel. You have to be able to keep that chakra, that portal open, but without receiving everything, everything. So when I've been hearing, and Sister Unique can come on and tell us what the planets and the stars are doing and how that's impacting us, I can just tell you everybody's feeling it. There was a mass explosion that all of my canaries called on and said, I'm feeling this. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I know. And I'm sorry, but you're going to have to feel it because that's part of your spiritual duty to the universe, okay? I need you to feel it. Without it taking you over the edge. So that's what we're going to be learning in class, how to recognize, feel, acknowledge without it sending you for a loop for 2 or 3 days, okay? So it's coming up. One thing about this year is that I'm really going to try to make sure that we're all on top of our game, for real. So empath, so all the idea of the nervous, the anxious, I think if you're not feeling nervous or anxious, if you're not feeling like I really want to please God, I hope God's pleased with this, then I think you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. Even I get nervous, and I think, not I think, I know I'm doing the right thing. I know I'm sitting on this porch. Mama said sit on the porch. I have not moved from the porch. Even though my legs are dangling off the porch, my butt is on the porch. I'm here, okay? But then I think you can get too haughty, you can get too beside yourself, you can get too comfortable, and that comfort will stop you from trying. You know, I fast a lot, always, a lot. It's a wonderful challenge I have for myself. But every time I do it, it is a challenge. Every single Wednesday, there's a challenge. Am I going to have my whites ready, okay? Am I going to have enough time to do this or do that? You know, Wednesdays are always a challenge, every single one, okay? I've been fasting, doing that month of fast, that Ramadan, that period of fast, probably since I was about 11 or 12 years old, still, and wanted to fast. Oh, I want to do it because that's what adults do, blah, 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 right? It's still a challenge. It is still a challenge. I find ways to challenge myself because I don't ever want to sit back and be so full of myself to think that I don't have to work on something for God. If this is something I'm truly doing for God, I'm doing it for the glory of God, I want to work hard at it. I want to. I want to be able to show my effort, my sacrifice. And I'm not talking running on no hamster wheel. I'm talking a real try. You know, I wanted to be better than I was yesterday, and I want to show God I am better. I'm doing more. I'm following instructions. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I want to show that I'm worth the time to instruct. I want to be worth the time to even chastise. You know, I want God to know that the investment in me is going to produce flowers. Look at all these beautiful flowers. When I look at all the people that dedicate themselves and their times to a wonderful approach and spend it, they're like beautiful flowers to me. And I just look, I'd be like, God, look at this garden that you have put together. So any and everything that you do with God, for God, there should be some nervousness about. You should be concerned. You want it to be good. And this is everything. This is your children. This is your marriage. This is all of your work relationships. This is how you make money. And you're like, how you make money? Even how you make money has to be obedient to God? Yes. 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 Don't think that you can be out in these streets causing confusion and chaos and then turn around. You know, Monday through Friday, you're creating chaos. But then at 5:30 on Friday, you turn off chaos and you turn back on your halo. It does not work like that. God does not have a light switch in which he turns on and off. God is with you always. That's what we ask for. That's what we pray for. That's what we beg for. Beg. We beg God to watch over us. We beg God to order our footsteps. You want him to order your footsteps but not be with you, not check in on you, not do that? That's not smart. So when it comes to being obedient to God, this is in all things. You know, I want some, and I got callers lined up. I promise you, I'm coming right now. But let me tell you, one area that we slack because there's a McDonald's on every corner, okay? Oh, McDonald's makes it. So that's why I call it the devil. That is the devil. But there's a McDonald's on every corner. God has granted us temples in which to house our spirit. And our bodies are miraculous. They heal themselves. They repair themselves. They, you know, they're strong. It's amazing. The whole reproductive cycle, I sit there and I'm like, God, you outdid yourself on this. You know, so it's always amazing to me what God gives us in the temple, and then turn around and amazes me how we don't want to take care of it. So when it comes to be obedient to God, even the what you eat, this is why you pray over your food, even what you eat, how you take care of this temple is a reflection to your gratitude for the gifts that God has given to you. So if you can think of it like that, it's easy to be obedient. If you thought your body was on loan from God, I bet you would treat it differently. That high gas in it. The very few times I have driven the luxury cars, okay, very few times, trust me, I spent the money and put the high gas in, okay? This is what you do when you value something. You give it what it needs, what it deserves, right? So in being obedient to God, this is what we're trying to do, right? All right, let me get to my callers. Let me get to my callers. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mama Seven. This is Sister Faith.
Sister Faith, my twin. How you doing?
I'm well. Oh. So obedient to God. This is a topic that, listen, so I'm the polar opposite of Mama Seven. I'm the youngest child, and so I did everything I was told not to do. You know, don't do it, I'm jumping up. Don't get off the porch, I'm off the porch going. So, of course, the booty pops constantly came. So with understanding that, when I think about the obedience and learning to be obedient, I think most every time that I ever got sidetracked, because as long as we're doing something that God told us to do, it will be successful. You do not have to be concerned about whether or not whatever you were commissioned to do succeeding. It's when we get distracted. by other people, other things, that we allow our eyes to be taken off of God and get distracted by what someone else's idea is or what someone else has to say or what someone else thinks, and we forget that we're not here to serve somebody. We're here to do the work for the people, but we're here serving
right.
a God that says higher than all. And so learning to, for me, in my experience, and when I look back at it, as you were talking about it, I was reflecting on my past. As long as I was doing what God called me to do, I was fine. Nothing could sway me. Nothing could hurt me. Nothing can touch me. As soon as just one little step off that curb, as soon as I hit the curb, as soon as I stepped off that porch, then chaos breaks loose. And so it's about learning to stay in your lane and walking
Amen.
In your lane. In recent weeks and months, it's been a challenge because this is your lane and this is where I want you to stay. In your lane, you find peace, you find joy, you find happiness, you find gratitude, you find all the things, the fruits of life. But as soon as you step out of your lane, it's where you find the chaos. And so if you can look at it in a simple way of just staying in what God has told you to do, you know, there's in the Christian faith, we have commandments. Those are
That's right.
basic instructions on what you should be doing to be obedient to God. You know, there's a scripture that says that obedience is better than sacrifice. God would rather you be obedient to Him and not take another God before Him, or not be blasphemous, or not take His name in vain, or not kill your brother or sister, or not, you know, cheat on your husband or wife, or He would not steal from your neighbor, not give false witness. He would rather you do all of those things than sacrifice time or energy doing something He told you not to do, or doing something that He didn't even have any interest in you doing. So when we look at the basics of it, if we can stay in our lanes, the obedience to God is really, really simple. It's really easy to do. But it's when we are trying to do what we want to do and get haughty, as you said, or beside ourselves or above ourselves, or, you know, arrogant and self-righteous. And, you know, these things is when we fall out of the alignment. And there's no reward when we fall out of the alignment. There's a consequence. And I would prefer the reward of peace, love, joy, happiness, even now in this time. Not necessarily when my time here is over, you know, because there's rewards and consequences that we experience here. You know, I would rather stay in my reward and rewards here than experience the consequence of depression, sadness, you know, whatever, loss of jobs and income. All these things happen, not all of them, not all the time, because sometimes God will take a job because He needs you to focus. But all these things happen for the good of those who love the Lord. So if we're going to stay focused and we're going to stay on our task, then that's an easy way to say, I'm obedient in my path.
That's right.
As soon as you step off, you'll feel it. All I had to share.
And, you know, that's a lot to share. I appreciate it, my dear sister. Thank you so much. Because you brought out two points that I got to talk about. One, that chaos of stepping off the porch, that chaos comes quick. And you know, if Ibrahim won a line, he said, you keep saying booty pop like it's just a little shoo-shoo. It ain't no shoo-shoo. I'm missing a leg. And I'm like, hey, I told you to stay on the porch, okay? I'm telling you, it is that chaos comes so quick because we're doing something we have no business doing. And God is like, I've got to teach you a lesson. And sometimes the lesson isn't even for us. It's for somebody who's watching you. They're looking at you. They're like, ooh, no, I don't want none of that. I'm going to leave that alone, okay? Like me. I'm telling you, I'm staying on the porch. But if dangling your legs is a problem, and I see it, oh, no, I'll pull my legs up. Not a problem. I don't need that. So that chaos, that trouble, that hard time, you know, I work around people. I work in a prison. I work around people that have made mistakes, okay? They've made a mistake. They've gotten caught. They're in prison. And they will all say, I knew when I made that mistake. I knew when I did that mistake that I was going to get caught. I knew when I did this, I was going to get caught. And so it's like God doesn't just snatch you the first time, two times, three times, 15 times, because our God is merciful. God tries to give you signs and messages. Hey, you're messing up. You're going too far. You're doing the most. You need to pull it in. You know, God gives us all these signs, signs for men of understanding, signs and signs. Usually when I have seen people get in trouble is when they have blatantly, arrogantly ignored God. There's a certain arrogance, in my opinion, that comes when you ignore God, when you procrastinate with God, arrogance there that is disrespectful. And at the time, of course, you're not thinking about being disrespectful. You just are. So if I can get all of us to really look, pay attention. There's nothing more important on this earthly realm that is worth being disobedient to God. Nothing here is worth it. You can be like, oh, well, what about $1 million? Okay, ask me how much 1 million pesos are worth, okay? And like, I can get you $1 million, you know. It won't be worth anything. I know people that get tons and tons of money, more money than they can spend, and it keeps floating through their fingers, can't hold anything, can't use it. Doesn't mean anything, has accumulated. It's blowing like the wind. It's Chuck E. Cheese tokens, okay? So money, nothing has value here that is worth the disapproval, the disappointment, the lack of faith. I want God to trust me, just like I trust God. I want God to trust that I'm going to do the right thing, trust I'm going to say what I need to say, trust I'm going to be in the place he put me to be, doing what he said to do. See, because me and God have a relationship. When you have a relationship with someone, it's not one-sided. That's not a relationship, okay? A relationship is when when two people are working together. We're working together on this. Because you are relying on me and I'm relying on you. So understanding that being obedient to God is necessary for him to use us the way that we keep begging him to use us. And I keep having to remind people, look, don't forget, you ask God to do that. God, you know, sometimes God says, hey, I need you to do this, and you got to think about it, you got to pray about it. I don't know what you're thinking of praying about, but, you know, you really have to just kind of wrap your hands around it. You know, but then there's times when we're up here begging God, please, and God grants you what you're looking for, and you're like, well, isn't it blue? You know, I'm like, what? So being obedient to God is something we really have to work on. Hold on, I got a caller. I love to hear my callers because they help to educate us, you know, and I want everybody to know you can learn from a butterfly. I learned from butterflies. I learned from trees. I learned from nature, from babies. I learned from everyone. So I'm always excited when someone presses one and they want to speak and they want to share. You know, I'm always like, you know, what am I going to get? What nugget am I going to get from this one? So I absolutely adore it, okay? Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Greetings, Mama Seven. Greetings, everybody. Hi.
Greetings, this is my baby elephant.
Yes, and she's staying out the mud, and she would like to talk about that. Hello, hello.
Yes. How is it, you know, you have been doing so, oh, my God, turn around 180. I mean, you have really, 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 really come a long way, baby, okay? And it shows. And it shows, I mean, it physically shows because I can look at you and see. It shows because I can hear you. I know what you're going through. I know what you're doing. And so tell us how initially staying out of that mud was.
Oh, it was addictive. I wanted to get back in the mud because that was what I was used to. And it was like, well, mm-hmm. why I have to get out of the mud? You know what I'm saying? What's wrong with this mud? This is my mud. This is my anointed mud. So I was trying to make my mud look good, and it was still dirty, and it didn't work. It didn't work. I'm sorry. Like, it just don't
my
work.
My mud was still dirty.
Okay. It was still dirty. But I didn't look at it because I put flour on. I put flowers and stuff on my mud to try to hope that it would just spring into something. And it was just larger, dirty something. So I had to really, I had to understand, like, look, this chaos that I, you know, want to be in so bad, but yet I'm praying for, you know, salvation. God was saying, hey, look, you know what I'm saying? Here's the tub right here. Get in the clean water. And
that's right.
Fighting myself to just want to get in the clean water, it took time for me because I was used to the dirt and I was used to the mud. And it's not good. That I said, I don't know if anybody else used it, but I call it selective surrender. And I was surrendering the things that I already knew that was good, okay? But I didn't want to address the stuff that was still dirty. So what I do is I try to hide behind what's good, but the stuff that I said I wasn't going to worry about, the same stuff I still kept getting called out about. So eventually, it's like, you know what? Here, God, I can't do it. I can't pick and choose how I want to serve you because I am still in my way.
Amen.
And that's just to get out of that spot. It took time. It took some time, some booty pops, some tears, but I am happy to be where I am because I realize I have something to work on, but I'm not at that space to where I was to where, you know what, ooh, that dirt looks a little good. You know what I'm saying? That gets old and that's tired.
It does.
It drains you.
It gets old.
And fighting with God is draining. Who has time for that if he's trying to bless
you? Look, they say arms too short to box with God. It's the truth. You're going to lose. You cannot and God loved, I believe it was Jacob, so much, he let him wrestle with his big toe. And I can only imagine Jacob trying to wrestle with the unimaginable weight, understanding of a big toe. You know what I'm saying? It's like, really, really now. We have to really, and what God teaches me, do you know the patience it takes to allow a small ant, you know, the opportunity, oh, do you need to bite me? You think you need to bite me? Okay, go ahead, ant, bite me. All right. And I'm sitting here like, oh, God, you are just so patient because you could have squashed the existence of that, of all ants, not just that ant, all ants. To know you're patient enough and to sit here and to have this process and everything else. So God doesn't just give up on us. It's amazing. We, who have so little to offer God, are quick to give up on God. We would rather give up on God than to stop and to change and to adjust and to grow and evolve and all those things we need to do. It's amazing to me.
That accountability piece, Godmother. Like, we run from accountability because then to be accountable, that means you have to be vulnerable, and that means you have to listen. That means you have to be quiet, because you're not talking. Some of us are so used to talking that we don't listen and we don't hear and we forget that if we over talking God, we're going to miss the message. And we talk so much. The A's don't mean a thing. You know what? I am 32 years old, and I am finally accepted that I am a baby elephant right now. I know I'm not going to stay there forever, but you know what? it's okay, because just because I'm 32 years old now does not mean I'm 32 in spirit. I had to learn how to be quiet. He said, hey, God,
amen,
I want to be held accountable for my actions, because at this point in time, I am making excuses. I am playing the victim.
Ooh.
That's why I'm stuck in my ways and in myself, because I had this life. And my big sister told me, why am I putting myself back in the hell that I already got myself out of?
Okay.
That's deep. That is real.
Okay. Okay. Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
So being obedient,
I love it.
It's a thing for me.
Being obedient to God. And one thing Sister Faye said, she said, being where God put you. I was like, yeah, wait a minute. How many of us would be like, oh, I want to be over here with these. And I'm like, hey, you don't belong over there. You're getting back over here where I put you. Get up on that porch. Okay.
Don't sit down.
Get up on that porch, yeah. Okay? And they're like, no, I don't want to be on the porch. I want to be running with the cool kid. No, no, you're not going to the store. You're getting on that porch. Not knowing the porch is the safest place for you, okay? Not realizing that once you're off that porch, you run into trouble, you get into the mud and everything else like that. But, you know, we steady thinking when God already has a plan for us. And so it does take a minute to get out your own head and to really work on some things. And one thing, you know, it's hard when it looks like the whole country's in the mud. You know, it's like,
right.
I got to be the only one getting out the mud. And I'm like, look, I'm about to save you. I'm trying to put you in that safe position. Get about, not just get out the mud, get away from the mud. You know, how'd you get mud on your shoes if you weren't in the mud, little one? And so It's like, not only do I need to get out the mud, go on and get away from it. Just move away. Don't even bother with the mud, you know. Don't let me start talking about Lot's wife, you know. We don't need no parts of that. She out of Babylon still got caught up in the confusion. So we're not trying to go there at no time. So, Baby Elephant, thank you so much for sharing and everything like that, because we need to know that the mud does have its own allure to it. And we get in the habit of it. We forget that it's mud. That's dirty. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Look, I love all the science. I love it. Because this is how we're going to go and have more tools so that we can be obedient to God. I'm going to stay with the phone lines for a minute because the phone lines are hot. And I want to keep this flow of information going. Greetings. Welcome to the program.
Peace.
Greetings. Greetings, Brother Ibrahim. How's everything?
It's good. It's good. Thank you.
Good.
Pat, it's a good.
Yeah.
Good show.
Awesome. So, awesome.
Right.
How is that obedience thing coming for you?
It's good because, I mean, you know, it fits. Everything fits my science. So we're talking about the science. We're talking about obedience. And being able to listen to God. Okay, so I'm all in my studies. And in my, you know, in the way that I apply it in the science, and it's, you know, Islamic, there's two attributes to go with God. And one is the living and self-sufficient, Al-Hay and Al-Qayyum. The living, the self-sufficient. So God is living and God is self-sufficient. My understanding is God put his soul into this being, me, to experience earth. To have the most ultimate experience. And when our experiences are negative, or when something disagrees with our body, or we don't feel right with something, that's that God in us telling me, this is not the experience that I want to have. And what negativity has done, the devil, whatever we call it in base spiritual language, you like to refer to the devil, I think everyone agrees with that, and kind of knows the character of this devil, negative energy, or whatever we're calling it. What it does, when we begin to have these feelings, and this is my system again, when we begin to have these feelings of discontent, dissatisfaction, disease, of being at a disease with ourselves, society has taught us to numb it. So we go to drugs, we go to other people, sex, food, and we begin to try to numb these feelings. You know what I'm saying? And this is the importance, and I really begin to see why you push fasting so much, because it clears us of not just the substances, but the need to rely on substance to escape the real feelings that our body is sending us through. And pain is for a reason. If you're in pain about something, there's something in your body that is not right. If your leg is hurt.
Yes.
So, right? So the soul is the same way. You know when you're shamed. And instead of turning to the bottle or to the television or to that that thing of Ben and Jerry's or the ho-hos and ding-dings or the herbs or whatever you turn to escape the reality, sometimes we have to fast and figure out what is really ailing us. Why is my soul screaming out? And it is this God in you having a terrible experience. It's like, you owe me better. So a lot of times we can't hear God because we don't even love ourselves. Now, this temple that you were talking about, we're not great custodians. And so God is not having the best. It's like, let me out of this car. Your car is just, the brakes don't work. It's smoking. You know, let me out of the car. So I think that that's one way to how I, you know, try to listen to God. What is my body telling me? Is my soul at peace? And peace to me, again, is the absence of confusion. You know, like Paul said, Apostle Paul said, God is not the author of confusion. So peace is the absence. So that's my take. Thank you for letting me share. I'm not going to share too long-winded. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Look, take care of that temple that you're talking about.
Y'all
building and everything like that.
This ease of discomfort. You're talking about obedience to God and the mother. You know what I'm saying?
You're going
to
learn.
A knife will make you do it. Don't they say they'll put you on the knife? Literally. You remember when we got into it, you said they will put you on the knife, Ibrahim. I didn't know you meant literally.
Yes.
So,
Yeah.
So they will cut
you,
boy.
They'll learn what real elbow is.
Okay. Oh, don't make me laugh,
all
please.
Right. Please. Yeah, that obedience, it'll send you through some loops. You know, we're getting late. I want to grab this last caller right here because I really want to get this. I want to know what this obedience journey has been, because what I'm realizing is that it's not a one-time thing. It's not like you can be obedient. Well, I was obedient back when I was 18. I'm like, you're 50, though. We have to really get to the point where obedience is our first reaction. That's our first thought. So greetings. Welcome to the show. Greetings, team.
I'm on
the
seven.
You might be on mute.
Yes, I can hear you. I was on mute. How are you? This is Stacey. So just, I was a lot like you when I was a kid, always very obedient, you know, listening to my mom and things like that. But when it comes down to God, I think that being obedient also has to be do with balance. When you talk about science, going back to what Mr. Ibrahim said, and it's all about science and balance. And sometimes you have to find that balance. You know, there's always an opposite to everything. There's light and dark. There's life and death. There's, you know, good and evil. You know, like I always use the analogy, you know, you have to look at the beauty in life. And, you know, with that, trying to find your balance, staying in that middle, there's a yin and a yang. And, you know, there is the time in your life where you may, like, baby elephant said, you may think you want to fight with God, and you know, and at that point, I personally, and I not to judge anyone, you're like, mostly not, you're not in the middle, you're not balanced, because now you're going more so toward the other side, you know, and keeping that balance is very important. It's not saying that you have to be good or bad or, you know, anything like that. It's being in the middle, making sure that you are in line. You know, and just using the analogy of, you know, when it comes down to the opposite, with work together and the beauty of life, you have a seed that you plant in the darkest part of the earth, which is the ground. And for that seed to erupt, you need the light for it to sprout. You know, you need the warmth and the light from the sun to make it grow. So with that, we have to also find that balance between that light and that dark. And for me, I think that's the way that we stay committed, just keeping that analogy, knowing that, you know, God knows our heart every day. Make a point to, you know, as in the Bible they say, Jesus always stepped away for a moment just so he could have his time to pray. And we have to find that balance to take that moment in our life, whether it is morning, noon, night, whatever it is, in the shower, whatever it is, whatever you find is your moment to give him that praise. That's what we need to do. And that's
right.
The way I look at it, to get my balance.
That's right. Amen, amen. And I'm so glad you pressed one, honey. Keep pressing one. Keep sharing with us. Really, really. We absolutely need it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. All right, so I heard some things. I heard some things, family. Come share. We got to get this in. First of all, and let me be clear, obedience does not mean good or bad, okay? Sometimes the messiest thing can be obedient. You know, we can take a equation of, you know, a husband and wife being together, and it has just run its course. It's complete, okay? So you will fight with, oh, I know I'm not supposed to divorce my husband. This is a covenant I made between me, him, and God. But I know it, I can't grow anymore. I'm holding him up from growing. And so there comes, you're fighting because you want to be able to classify this as good or as bad. It's not good or bad. Obedience means you followed instructions. So when it comes to that balance, you know, this is why you have to understand the essence of God. Don't get caught up in the letter of it, okay? Do not get caught up in the letter. We're following the essence, the spirit, the energy of this. So there may come a time where you will have to make a stand and everyone will think that you're wrong. Everyone will think that you're bad, okay? And it's like, I don't care what you think, I am being obedient. When you are obedient, that is above good or bad. That is when you are following God's instructions. And when you get that, you don't have to worry about anything else. But there's often times where this world that we're living in will make it seem like your obedience is good or bad. We can't get into that, okay? Everybody, and so that was such a good point when it comes to balance, when it comes to time for the dark. There's time for dark. We have to have dark. We have to rest, okay? Right now, we're in winter. The earth is resting. The trees are resting. There is a whole nother purpose for this earth right now. And then there will come a time for spring. That's the time for planting. It's the time for this. But just because we can't plant right now, or just because it is dark, the days are shorter, the nights are longer, there's a purpose for this. So we can't say that anything is good or bad. We have to really begin to understand the essence of what we're supposed to be doing. So there are some people that will only see winter. They won't have a purpose in the spring. There are some people that only work with the moon. That is their time to come forward. That is their light, their source, their everything. You know, and that's not to sneeze at the sun, but understanding the purposes of things, then we can say, okay, this one is following her essence. This one is following his essence. And so we, at that point, that's obedience. So I don't want anyone to think that everyone's obedience looks the same, because it does not. Everyone's path is different. And I love, with a wonderful approach, that you are allowed to be different. There's not a cookie cutter in this. And I mean, for me, again, that's a basic. God takes the time to make snowflakes different. And snowflakes are these itty tiny things. And there's blizzards. There's millions of these little snowflakes. And God took the time to make each one of them different. All of our fingerprints are different. Even twins came here at the same time, same mother, same father, carried the same time. Even they are different, no matter how much they look alike. So if God can go through the process of creating each of us different, then we definitely can slow down enough to say, hey, look, this is more for you. This is less for you. This is, you know, take that time to be that individual, because God has already set that up. You know, one thing I wanted to, and I can't believe the time is ticking on us, but another thing I wanted to talk about, because we had some great callers calling, sharing information. one thing about being obedient to God is that it seems to be easier to be obedient to God when God is saying what we want to hear. And I know that's kind of like a no-brainer, but really, it's a no-brainer, okay? So God is doing what we want. God, please let them have my size shoe in the back. Oh, they got my size shoe. Amen. I'm ready. I got this, okay? So when it's something that we like, we think we need, we think that works with us, everything is good. You know, I like to say, you know, all those people, all the priests out there, they get to kiss on babies and everything else like that. That's fantastic, okay? That's their job. Singing, dancing, drumming, and kissing babies. It doesn't get to be a better job than that. But that's not everyone's job, okay? If that was the only job out there, we'd be in some trouble, okay? We all have a different path. You know, God does not pour water into us. Some people are holding hot water, and you have to be strong like a kettle to hold hot water. Some of us are holding oil. Now, you know how hot oil gets. You know you can get a burn from oil. But God needs some of us to hold oil. So we have a lot of different responsibilities, and we don't get to pick. I know working with populations that I have, and everybody knows I work with populations. I do behavior health. And I'll look at some of these parents that have had difficult children, difficult, in and out of the law, tearing up stuff, on drugs, off drugs, whatever. And I look at them, and I'm like, boy, thank God for your mother. And they're like, what do you mean, thank God for my mom? My mom just beat the crap out of me. Yeah, yeah, but your God gave you the right woman to watch over you, to love you, to take care of you the very best way she could. Because I don't know if somebody else could have done that. I don't know if somebody could have done that job. You know what I'm saying? And so when you're, you know, when I look at certain situations and I'm like, ooh, only God could have done that. You know, God planted this seed in this woman and said, hey, it's going to be difficult, but I need you to watch over this particular seed. I need you to watch over him, care for this one. Do whatever you need to do, okay? Beat him if you have to. But I need you to do this job for me. So for those mothers that have had the burden of that, you know, that's a special kind of obedience. You see? For those people that have had, you know, just difficulties in their life that you've had to survive. Can you imagine having to survive something? You know, difficulties that they've had to survive, difficulties that they've gone through. God asks you to go through them gracefully, and you take the time to really apply yourself. You're being obedient to God. That sacrifice is elevated for God. And so there are times where God will get us uncomfortable. Still being obedient now. You still got to listen, but you're uncomfortable, okay? God didn't say you were going to love every little thing that he said you got to do, because there have been many a day where I'm sitting with my head in my hands at my shrine table like, okay, now how I'm going to do this again? There's many a day where I'm unsure about where to begin. It's so difficult. Right? All I know is that I have to do it because I know that God has asked me to. I remember speaking to a star child once upon a time, and I didn't quite know what a star child was. And this was a woman who believed that she wasn't necessarily not just not of this earth plane, but not of this planet, okay? So as I'm listening to her, she sounded a little special, right? And she was telling me out of the blue, I don't know why these people talk to me, but I do know, but I thought it was very strange, but she's explaining to me how reluctant she was in the beginning of her journey. And how she really had a conversation and was like, look, I don't want to do this job. I don't want this job. And how the beings that she communicates with told her that it takes too long to create star children. You know, Earth is not around the corner. And they didn't have time to wait another, I think she said like 5,000 years, for another one of these children to come to Earth and do this work. She had to do the work. And I mean, that story, this was, let me see, 12 years ago. And so I'm like, wait a minute, 5,000 years? Yeah, you know, I don't know the distance. You know, I have to give them my 5% out here, telling me the distance from the sun and the earth and the moon and how many, da-da-da. Okay. But how deep is it? You know, because each one of us has a divine purpose. Each one of us has a mission implanted in us from God that's passed down through our lineage. The reason I was born to my mother is because she had to nurture aspects of me that no other person could nurture. The reason I was born of my father is because there were aspects of him that I needed to complete the mission that God put me on. Can you imagine that mission being 5,000 years ago? Now, I can. And the Mayans could predict calendars way past their very existence. Then, yeah, I do believe it can take that long to get this information for this earth, where they'll plant secret coded information within you that you're going to discover. I know people that are meant to create new understandings on this earth. So when she told me that, when she told me the way that she got past her own reluctance is that she had to understand that it took too long to make her, to formulate her. It took too long for the universe to send her and have her in position and to have someone capable of doing the work that she does. And that's why she had to do her work. And it was an eye-opener for me because she knew where she came from and what she was supposed to be doing. How many of us have these divine purposes or your support to divine purposes and you don't even know it? How many of us are sitting with divine purposes in our heart, in our dreams, in our dream journals? How many of us are sitting with this information and yet we're acting as if they can just make another one of you with no problem? If it were that easy, we'd have clones. God would just create clones and the clones would figure it out. But no, God made each of us individually. There's something divine that occurred when God came to create each and every one of us. We're here for a purpose. And so seeing how we divine beings, us here, seeing how we divine beings have a purpose in this understanding, we owe it to our responsibility in the fabric of humanity to at least be obedient to the very instruction that were given to you. You don't know how important you are. You don't know how long it took, and you don't know how long it'll take to replace you. This is why we have to apply ourselves. We have to take care of these temples that we're temporarily housed in. We have to act as if each day has new meaning, new purpose, new opportunities. You see what I'm saying? So, when it comes to being obedient to God, I want you to high-level your purpose just a little bit, okay? Don't stay focused in that mud, because I promise you there's something bigger for you. But you got to get out the mud first. You got to be able to see God. Like caller said, you have to be able to let go of the distractions. I don't care if her car is shinier, newer. That is irrelevant. What is relevant is that we are applying ourselves to our divine purposes. God didn't make us by accident. There aren't extra people on this earth by accident. Now, I know you're like, wait a minute. So all these people that are contrary to me, yeah, it's not by accident. Don't forget, steel sharpens steel. Whenever someone's arguing or being combative, obviously they're like, oh, you know what? I know why you're here. You're here to help remind me to pray, okay? Because you about to get on my nerves. Today I stepped outside my little trailer, and I'm outside, and of course there's nothing, a lot of steel, and there's barbed wire at the top of the steel, and I am outside in full prayer, full hallelujah, holiness prayer, okay? I mean, I got that off today. And as I was praying in the back of the trailer, okay, the back of this prison, all hell was breaking loose. I didn't know. And that's not something I do on a regular. That's not something I've ever done at this job. But God said, you need to pray outside out loud. I said, pray outside out loud right now at a prison. Sure, go ahead. So I'm sure I can only imagine what I looked like. But I knew when I was finished that everything was going to be okay, not knowing that there was turmoil and confusion and some very ungodly energy floating around in the prison and all these other little cubby holes across America, whatever. There were situations going on, okay? So I don't know how many other people got that memo to break out in prayer. It had to be about I think it was right about 2. I think it was right about 2 o'clock. So I don't know how many other people got that, felt that, needed to do that. I hope I don't have to keep doing that every day, because that's not what I would call ideal situation to try to bring in spirit or pray, you know. At the same time, when you following instructions, so when I got out of there, when I left to go home, I said, oh, we got radio. I already did radio. I already prayed that thing in, got that radio, because I was like, we have to get obedient to God. You don't know who God is lining up to meet with you. You don't know what God is setting up to lay there at your feet. You don't know whose eyes are watching you as you set an example as to what is godly and what is not. Don't forget, and I have to remind us on a regular basis, and I mean us as a collective, we are the spiritual leaders, okay? We are the ones that are going to set the tone for righteousness. We are the ones that have to find a wonderful approach. This is not slap them in the head, Bible thumper Christians. We're not that. We are a wonderful approach. It's hard to be wonderful all the time. It's hard to find that win-win. But I promise you, when you're being obedient to God, God is going to sort out the rest. We just do our small part. And really, our part is small in the big picture of things. Okay? So, you know, it's been a wonderful show. I want to thank everybody that came on and gave their contribution / testimony about being obedient to God, okay? And I really do appreciate when we can have someone say, hey, look, I've done it wrong for a while. Let me tell you what not to do, okay? don't play near the bud. Not only do you not be in it, don't play near it. Don't play near it. You know, I love it when we're forced to look at a new angle on something, because that's going to give us more insight than what we knew before. And see, that's our goal each day, to learn more and to be more than we were yesterday. So, and the last thing I'm going to say right before we get to prayer is that if you know the selective surrender, as I did my little quotation marks, okay? So selective surrender does not count. If you have a car and one tire pops, you don't have a car anymore, okay? You're not getting anywhere. It doesn't matter that you have three perfectly good tires. If one is down, you're down. So don't think that you can pick and choose, oh, I'm going to be good on everything except this because I can't live without that. You're down then. You're not going anywhere. When you are intentionally, selectively choosing what laws that you're going to obey of God, you're down. How are you going to choose to do wrong things and then think that you're going to have the privilege of being right? You don't. And when you do, then you start running into those big words our dear sister Faith said, like haughty, like prideful, like arrogant, and all those other things that really don't want to use when it comes to being a child of God. Okay? So, again, thanks everyone for their contribution. At the end of each program, we go into prayer. Why? Because prayer changes things. We invite God into everything that we do, okay? Because we know that God makes things better. God, presenting our words to God is a sacrifice, is elevation. We are definitely, you know, when you realize, hey, God is listening because there's not a light switch for God, then you tend to do things a little differently, okay? So at the end of every show, we do a small prayer. And I say small because God deserves all the glory. We could have started the show off praying and ended it praying. That's how much praise and worship God deserves. But what we do is just at the end say, hey, look, you know, God, please stay with this, watch us. Don't let this be the only prayer you hear this week, all right? Everybody's sitting with these little computers and their phone in their hands called a phone. All you have to do is go to there's Bible.com, there's Islamicstudies.com. There are 1,000 different prayers, different languages, different reasons for prayer, and you can find them all on your phone. And then a wonderful approach, we have a little book of some of my favorite prayers. So just in case all the thys, the thous, and all that makes you nervous, don't let it make you nervous. Get a little book, you know. It's called the Little Handy Notebook of Prayers, and that's all it is a couple of favorite prayers. But it's something to get you started on that prayer journey. Prayer is so important. Prayer is when we talk to God. Then you'll turn around and you'll start to say, you know what, I've been doing a lot of talking. Let me listen. And then we move into meditation. And then you will start to evolve. You'll begin to say, you know, we may start off with a very small prayer. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, you know. Very, very small prayer that children make. But then you'll start to say, you know what, though, God, I do have this situation I'd like to inform you about. And, God, I would like to talk to you about my feelings about this and that. And, God, I would like to share with you as I extend hands to my friend who's sick. And so then you'll start to see an evolution to your prayers. You'll see an evolution to your relationship with God. You know, so we should not be making the same prayers that we were making as children. And once you have been making your prayers for some time, you know, I'm going to encourage you to dig a little deeper. You know, if you know that psalm, go to the next one. There's quite a few. So, you know, don't be limited in your thoughts and in your prayer life, because God has given us many different prayers for many different reasons. It's a wonderful, I think if there's anything that I've studied, between the divination, it's been those prayers. That's where that science is. How wonderful is it for us to learn how to properly communicate with such a high being, to be allowed to do that. It really is a privilege and an honor. So as we're wrapping up the show, we're going to offer a prayer and inviting those that would like to co-host, just let me know. I'm interested in my co-host again. I love that energy, okay? So ending in prayer, Father, Mother, God, I give thanks and praise, strength it takes to live in this understanding called 2021. God, this world has not been easy, but it has been your desire because we're here. Every day I wake up on the green side of the grass, I give thanks and praise, knowing that it is only through your divine intervention that I was able to wake up and be in my right mind. I give thanks and praise for my family, my immediate family, my extended family, my spiritual family. I give thanks and praise for their health, their mental health, physical health, spiritual health. God, I take such pleasure in watching your flowers grow, and I give you all the thanks, all the praise, all the glory, knowing that it is you that makes all of this occur, and that we should be grateful and thankful to just be a witness to this. God, please give me the strength personally to do the work that you have within a wonderful approach. Every day we're growing. Every day more wonderful opportunities come up. There are more and more people seeking good guidance, good help, good people. God, please let the beacon that we try to send to the universe be seen by those that need it. God, that would probably be everyone, because this earth is in need. There's so many people in pain in their heart, pain in their minds, pain in their body. God, please allow us the time and opportunity to correct the things we've done incorrectly. We're not perfect beings. We ask for the opportunity to correct ourselves, God, to be better than we were yesterday, to be more patient with ourselves and with our fellow brothers and sisters, to be more patient with understanding what is needed of us as children of God. God, I ask for your help in understanding, you know, how we're supposed to heal from some of the hurts that still stay with us. God, if you can, grant us serenity so that we can know the things that we are to change, and the wisdom to know the things that we cannot. God, I ask that you stay with us as we're trying to make sure that we are the right, doing the right things at the right time for the right reasons. Guide our heart, judge our heart, because our head can be inflated. God, I want to thank you for all the time and energy that you spend on me personally, because there are some days that get harder than others, but I know that with your guidance, with your help, with your love, I can make it through. I ask that you continue to watch over us and continue to watch over every single one of us as we go through our day-to-days and our travels. I ask these things in your name. Amen.